After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back, After Buzzers, for the Real Housewives of Potomac After Show. Tonight, we're talking sexual butt-grabbing allegations. We're talking kooky Candace is just like her mama. And we're talking all that and more coming up for you next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Woo! Hey, you guys. What's up, party people? Yay. Welcome to the Real Housewives of Potomac After Show, Season 4, Episode 10. It's going down at the hoedown.
Yes, it is.
Or showdown at the hoedown, excuse me. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into it because it was a messy episode, as usual. But I'm your host, Erica Edwards, and I couldn't do it without my girls. So give it up for Danny, you guys. And Alexis.
Hey, everybody.
All right, you guys. So this episode went a lot of little different places, but it ended up with a showdown. So, but we'll take it like we always do. What did you guys think about the episode overall?
More dramatic. Every episode is more dramatic than the last one and more scandalous. This one was so scandalous. I was like, give me the tea. Mm-hmm. And we definitely got the tea in this episode.
Yes, for sure. We got a lot of drama, a lot of things revealed, a lot of shade thrown. Just all the things we love about Real Housewives. Mm-hmm. We got it all tonight.
Yes, I totally agree. I think this was a sort of well-balanced episode because sometimes they don't, you know, I don't like the sort of precursors and then the last 1 minute is the party and you're just, you know, spending 40 minutes of BS. But they got to it this episode, so I really like that. But we had some little, you know, some little conversations before the showdown. So we'll go through those really quickly. Let's start off with the one that I think I found out of everybody's the most interesting was the argument between Candace and Chris. Mm-hmm. So it's so interesting because everybody, I think, really throughout this entire episode is constantly telling Candace, well, you know, you like your mama, girl. And Chris basically is sort of telling her that in his own way. And she's just not hearing it from anyone. What did you guys feel about their whole interaction?
I need Candace to stop crying. Like, now I see why her mom is like, oh, she just likes to cry. Because honestly, this episode, I was like, you have got to stop trying to be the victim. Like, I think Candace needs to look within herself and realize, like, there are some things that I could change about myself. People aren't just attacking me for no reason. People aren't just saying things to me for no reason. Like, she has to grow up. She's a little immature, and I'm gonna need her to get it together.
I think she just needs to realize that if one person's telling you something, it may be the other person, but if, like, two, three, four, a bunch of people are telling you one thing, then right, it probably is true. Mm-hmm. So if Chris is telling you that he's your husband, he's going to look out for what's best for you. Your friends are telling you that. Obviously, you got some issues going on, and you're acting like your mama, and you need to stop it. And I just wish she would see that.
I totally agree. Although I do also feel like the way she was handling Chris was a little disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Because she was cutting him off. She kind of was like, get out my way. To me, she was kind of running him in a way where he was patient, but how long is he going to stand for that?
Right,
I think,
right.
You know, because, like, yeah, I get it. It's one thing if it's your girls. It's one thing if it's Monique. But this is, you know, supposed to be your partner.
Yeah.
So how did you guys feel? Especially, like, the way she drove off and stuff. What did you guys feel about that?
It was just dramatic. And it was too much. When she was pushing him out of the car and he was just trying to talk to her, like, you want to have a good marriage. And she was talking about how her parents got divorced or they weren't together. And she doesn't want that to happen to her. But it's looking like you do want that to happen to you because you're not even listening to your husband when he's trying to tell you something. You know, like, he's trying to say it in a nice way, but you rather hear it from other people. Like, you don't want to hear from them, and you don't want to hear from your husband either. I don't understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I especially feel like check yourself, because she is coming at him so crazy. Like, I get that you're like, I told you not to do that or whatever, but she is just like, oh, okay, you gonna do what I tell you to do? Who are you talking to?
Right.
Like, you
know? She was being her mother, and exactly. It's funny that he was literally saying, what you're doing to me right now is what you say your mother does to you. So how can you be mad when you're doing the same things? And, you know, like you said, he was being patient with her like a husband should, but mm-hmm. how long is he going to be willing to deal with that? That may be an issue.
Exactly.
Last episode, she talked about how her mom is always cutting her off. And every single time he spoke, she would not let him get a word in. Mm-hmm. And it was like, this, you really are your mom. I hope she looks back at this and is like, okay, like, I need to check myself, because I am exactly like my mom at this moment. Mm-hmm. Like, let him speak. Let him say something to you. Like, he can't even get across to you because you won't let him speak.
Exactly. And hopefully she'll realize, like, your mother is divorced. I don't know. We ain't seen her dating nobody. But you know what I'm saying? Like, right. That's
and
how
she got cheated on.
Exactly. With a whole nother baby. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But it's like, now, a whole nother grown man. He is a man now. But it's like, yeah. So it's like, okay, you know, Chris is really patient with her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't, you know, and I wish them the best. But it's like, okay, how are you going to continue to talk to someone crazy like that?
Right.
She just seems like she has just so much anger inside. Something is bothering her. I don't know if it's solely just the situation with her mom, or if she's just dealing with growing pains of being a wife now, or, you know, with the possibility of having to, you know, not have her mom pay for things for her. Something is happening in her life that's causing her to lash out at everybody. And I just hope it comes out soon what it is.
Exactly. And I mean, just to keep it 100, like, this is at least, what, her second season or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, sweetie, you should be having some checks. You can afford your own place. I'm just saying, Bravo is not sending the money to your mama. Your mama is probably getting her few little guest checks. So, like, cut the ties. You have a job now. You're working. Let's make a move.
And who knew psychiatrists made that much? I'm baffled.
Actually, I did kind of know, but but now we know.
Like $8,000 a month just for your daughter's house money? Yes.
Right.
Who would have known? I should have gone to med school.
Same.
I had no clue.
Wrong exactly, because there's a lot of crazy people out there. I mean, not crazy, but you know, people that need help. And it's good to see that somebody is giving up. And then, well, let me not start on Dorothy, because she wasn't even in this episode. So we'll leave crazy Dorothy to another time. So let's move on to Giselle and Robin, and like the whole, please don't make it your storyline, remodeling a house scene. I'm like, oh my God, please. This is not going to be Giselle's life for the rest of the episodes. You're just going to like talk mess about everybody else and then like fix a house. I'm hoping, I want more for you both, because you're too pretty, you're too cute, you're too cool. But so anyway, that's my feeling on it. How did you guys feel about that scene?
I mean, you saying you don't want it to be Giselle's storyline, but I don't want it to be Robin's storyline.
Both of them. Like, stop it with the housing already. Like, that's like a whole nother network. I do not want to see you guys, like remodel a house.
Like at least with Giselle, you know, she's an instigator. She's the pot stirrer. She ain't going nowhere. But Robin, you're not about to make solely your thing just be houses. And I don't know if you're really the person we want to get, you know, feedback and advice from at this point, because we still ain't seen no finished product. So Giselle, you might want to keep all that stuff to yourself before your homegirl have your house messed up.
Right.
Well, I think at least Robin can be the person to talk to be like, oh, wow, this is over budget. Because
she'll understand that.
Exactly. And that, to me, I felt like, honestly, I did feel like that was a good point on her part. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, well, I'm doing this little old raggedy house. I'm sorry, it's not raggedy. Shout out to people in Baltimore. But she's doing this small little house, and she's like months and months over it. And meanwhile, Giselle has a huge raggedy house. So, you know, so I think she does have some good points in that Giselle probably does not fully understand how it's going to add up, how much money it's going to be, how much foundation she's going to have to sell to pay for this. I don't know. So I thought she had some good points. But I totally agree with Alexis. Like, I can't have this be their life for like 10 more episodes or whatever. Like, you know, a few little flashes. Yes, you know, the cabinets looked great. Mm-hmm. I loved it. Yeah. But like, okay, I'm going to need you to like date or something.
Yeah. You
know,
you had a beginning part with this. You can have like a mid update where things are together and then a finished product at the end.
Or it could be like, you know, like Sheree and Kenya Moore, and you all just drag each other.
Please drag each other.
Thank you. Because nobody's house is finished. I'll do that.
something.
I'll engage in that, but I'm not going to like, now we're doing floors. Like, I'm not doing that.
Somebody even said in the live chat at Film Raider, he said Sheree in Kenya 2.0.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. We can't because Kenya's coming back. Okay. all right, you guys. So that was them. All right, before we move on to the next topic, Dani has something fun and exciting to share with you guys.
Yes, I do. We want to thank you guys so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And we do need you guys' help. Please make sure to comment, like, and subscribe to our channel. And also give us a rating on iTunes. We thank you guys so much for allowing us to do what we love every single week.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Like, subscribe, and give us a thumbs up if you're in the chat right now, because, like, you're here already. Yeah. So please do it. All right, you guys. So moving on, we had a cute little... I like these little scenes we have between Karen and Ray, because they always kind of do a little... First, they're dancing. Now, they're motorcycle riding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I feel like, I guess now that he's recovered from his IRS issues, Ray is just like, I'm in and out.
Sunshine
and rainbows. Know what I'm saying? You ain't going to get too much TV time on me. I'm in and out. But they're very cute together. How did you guys think... What did you guys think about Karen and her motorcycle dirt bike
stuff? I like learning more about Karen. You know, like, we don't learn that much about Karen. It's just always when it's drama or something. I think Karen deserves to be happy, and it's nice to see her have these, you know, happy moments, I think.
Yeah. I have a love-hate relationship with Karen. Most of the time, it's hate. but because of everything that she's been going through, I was happy to see a happier moment for her and her just having fun, enjoying life, enjoying her husband. Mm-hmm. But if all this stuff hadn't been happening to her, I probably wouldn't have cared, just being completely honest. But, you know, I was worried about her and Ray at one point, you know, with the whole thing of them accusing her of messing around and then everything with the tax stuff. So I was worried about them for a while if they were going to last. So I'm glad to see that they're doing well.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I think with her, the loss of her parents and then her kids are kind of like away, it's nice to see her kind of doing these things with Ray to kind of, you know, keep the fires going and popping and stuff.
Spicy.
Exactly. I mean, I was like, the stiletto boots were an interesting choice. because I was gonna like the guy. I was like, girl, those are gonna get stuck so many places. But I like the jacket. So she looked very cute.
Yeah,
I definitely feel like she's really stepped her outside of like. Obviously, the braid fiasco in New Orleans. Ooh. I feel like her wig game is on
gotten
point.
A lot better.
Yeah.
She's her been wig, looking good.
Yeah. Like, I was like, her stylist, other than like braiding thing, has really been putting it together. And I liked all of her blonde wig choices.
Especially in her confessionals. She's laid in her confessionals.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I like the way she kind of, you know, switches it up each, you know, each little scene. So that is very cute. So
she's doing a lot better.
Yay for Karen and her blonde wigs. Mm-hmm.
Someone, Joseph Boza. Joseph is always in our chat. Hey, Joseph, you are a faithful viewer.
Hey.
He said, if she wasn't a pain, I wouldn't care. It's interesting seeing Karen just have a normal day with her husband. I agree.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's nice to see her, like, just relax. And I think what's interesting with her, what I like to see about flashbacks with her, is she grew up, my understanding is, sort of poor or whatever. So she, when she's on this, oh, I'm the
grand
queen, grand dame, and all that other mess. Not, you know, whatever. But it's nice to see, like, her humble beginnings, too. Because I think that does kind of make her seem a little bit more real and authentic of a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I like those little flashbacks to her past, which is very adorable.
Yeah.
So let's talk about... Monique, the soothsayer, the all-knowing, sort of the psychiatrist of the group this episode. So she had some interesting scenes. So we'll talk first about Monique and Ashley and then later about, you know, Monique and Candace, which I think is so funny because they are certainly at odds with each other. But it's so interesting to see how Monique has managed to kind of keep a friendship, at least until the end of the episode, with both girls. So we'll start with Ashley. How did you think about the baby buying clothes and whatever? I think they're so cute together.
It was cute. I think Ashley can learn a lot from Monique, especially she's trying to get pregnant. Monique has like hella kids. So she can learn a lot. And I think it shows us a softer side of Ashley when she's not like in drama and we see her actually caring about like having a family and things that actually matter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I just love that they're coming together for all of this. You know, how I feel whenever I watch people hang out and come together on this show is I never can take it serious because I feel like they're going to fall out eventually.
Right.
But I think with something like this, they'll always have something to kind of bond over and hang out with. And it's exciting to see it now with Monique. But we know Ashley just had her baby, so we know next season we'll be watching Ashley do the same thing for her little one. So that was exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's very... I mean, I know you're right. I guess, you know, they will eventually fall out, I guess. But I do, it does seem like it's authentically growing between the two of them, which, you know, and I kind of felt like Kieran shared a real moment with Ashley in the salt mines or whatever, the meditation thing. But I guess it wasn't really real because now, you know, like, I don't know, Kieran kind of, I think she had a good moment there, but I don't think it brought her really any closer to Ashley, where I do genuinely feel like Monique and Ashley, when they get together, I do feel like something's building there that could, you know, outlast a big fight. I'm hoping, because I really want them to be cool.
I think Kieran has just been backstabbed by Ashley so many times that, like, she can have these moments, but when it's done, she's like, okay, but I know you. I know how you are. I know what can happen. So she kind of just long handle spoons her, you know? Which I agree with. I would long handle spoon her too. She's messy.
Okay. like I get, I don't know. I'm in between on that because I see that, but then I also feel like Giselle has Robin. You know, I don't know. Like, I always want every person to have, like, an authentic friendship on the show. Like, a real friendship. And I think originally, for me, from what I recall of watching this series, I felt like Kieran was a little bit cooler with Giselle. And I feel like they're not going to ever get back there either. And now Kieran is, like, halfway friends with Candace. I feel like Kieran isn't really having a real connection with anybody
so far.
And so, I mean, so I get what you're saying as far as Ashley being messy. And I mean, I kind of feel like that with Ashley too. Like Ashley needs that girl, you know, friend too as well. And I feel like, you know, I feel like she's calming down and starting to get that. And I just hope, you know, Kieran isn't left in the cold, basically.
My thing with Kieran, what she seems to do, and I feel like we've talked about this on the panel before, is she kind of likes to take people under her wing. I think when Ashley came in,
exactly,
she wanted to, like, groom her up, make her this Potomac woman, and now she sees Candace is kind of like the underdog or like the, you know, not the lower man on the totem pole, but you get what I'm saying. So she kind of is taking her under her wing.
Right.
And maybe if we get a new housewife next season, she probably gonna take her under her wing
too.
Well,
yeah, exactly, because a new person coming in hasn't really made a true allegiance with anyone. And so they're open to be your friend. Right. But that being said, if you were a bit more open and authentic yourself, maybe you could click a little bit better with the other people too. You know what I'm saying? But I totally agree with you. Like, I think that every time someone new, it's like, woo, I got a friend now. And until, you know, until they grow up and then they're in another season and they're like, oh no, you know. But we'll see. We'll see. But hopefully, you know, Candace needs a friend, so maybe that will work out.
So then we
see Candace come over to Monique's home. And they have a kind of cool interaction or relationship as well. But Monique is always like, or not always, but I know last season, not last episode, in this episode, she's kind of like trying to like give Candace some advice. And Candace is still sort of fighting her on it. So when she's at the home, they don't really argue, but Candace still is not hearing her, which was a really interesting thing. How did you all feel about Monique's tone and sort of like big sister, little sister with Candace?
I think Monique was coming to her like a sister. I didn't think Monique had like a crazy tone or anything. I think she has a hard time accepting people telling her about herself, you know? And I think that's with, like, a lot of housewives, but she has it pretty bad. Like, she's even like, I disagree. Like, just take it in and then, you know, come back. But she, like, can't even let you finish your sentence before she's disagreeing. You don't even know the full, what she was going to say. Maybe she would side with you later. Maybe she would, you know, like, let her drop some gems on you. She's been on this, you know, show longer than you. Just listen for a second, you know? That's how I feel.
Yeah, I think it was genuine. Like you said, big sister, little sister. I don't think she was taking anybody's side. I don't think she was trying to come down on Candace. I think she was genuinely, as a friend, just trying to help her. I think Monique is in a very interesting situation this season because she's pregnant, so she's the only sober person in the room. She's seeing everything from both sides. And I think Candace should have been able to hear what she's saying and take it in a way that's like, okay, she sees both sides. She's not on both sides, but, like, you know, she's kind of more of a neutral person in the situation. Let me not take this personally. Let me take it as her just trying to help me. And I really think that's what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also felt that way at the hoedown as well. I think Monique is still always trying to kind of let her know, this is what you're doing. You're being messy. You're doing this. And for whatever reason, as soon as you bring up Dorothy, it's like it sets off a big thing in Candace where she can't, like, even hear what people are saying anymore. Right.
Which I kind of did get from Candace's side, because it's like, I can talk about my mama, but you can't talk about my mama.
Period.
But then at the end of the day, if you're complaining about something, and this is exactly what Monique said, if you're complaining about something that your mom does, and then we notice you're doing the same thing, we're going to be like, well, hey, you said you didn't like that when your mom does it. You're doing that to me. Like, kind of chill out on it, without her thinking that, one, she's talking about her mama, or two, that she's coming down on her.
I agree with Monique when she said that Candace wants a yes man. Candace wants a friend that's just going to agree with her every time she says something. No real friend is going to agree with you all the time. They're going to tell you when you're wrong, and she doesn't want to hear when she's wrong. Like, that is a real friend, and I don't think she knows the difference between a real friend and someone that's just going to tell you yes all the time. I don't want a friend that's going to tell me yes all the time. Mm-hmm. Don't have me out here looking stupid. Tell me when I look dumb. Mm-hmm. Tell me when I need to be quiet, when I need to get my act together, and get me right, you know? Don't have me on national television looking crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And then also I would say, kind of with Alexis's point, is that to me, kind of like with a bad relationship. If you're in a relationship and you tell your friends all bad stuff about the guy, and then you're going to be like, well, I can talk about my man, but you can't talk about my man. Like, really? Okay. Yeah. After I had to listen to you for hours and hours and hours, eventually people are going to make comments about your mother. And so if you share that much of her, and unfortunately, the same way the producers have of the show, then everybody's going to have a comment. Mm-hmm. And for you to just be so, sprung and, like, that's just such a huge issue for you, then pull back a little bit in what you're saying to them. And maybe, you know, have one close friend, but you're constantly in the whole group talking about your mother and then being like, but can't nobody say nothing. Like, what? That's your storyline. So we're going to talk about it, boo.
Or maybe just talk to your husband about your mother and not these girls that you don't trust like that. Because you know that they're going to say something about her.
Exactly. Or just talk to Monique, or just talk to Karen or whoever. But it'll be everybody. And she's going through blow by blow about everything her mom did wrong. So, you know, of course, people eventually are going to continue to comment about it.
Right.
In a way, it's not the same situation, but it's kind of a similar situation with how Candace feels like, oh, Ashley kept bringing up that she can't drink if she's trying to have a baby. And so she commented on that. It's the same situation. People keep asking, oh, why do you keep saying that? And it's like, because Ashley keeps bringing it up. Well, it's the same thing with you. We keep bringing up your mom because you keep bringing up your mom. Right. And you keep pointing out these things. So it's like, it's funny that she can see it from that perspective when it comes to Ashley and her situation, but not this situation of her own.
That was a good comparison.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. And it's just funny because it's like, this, for one, this is basically your storyline. So everybody, blogger, every person in the world, this is why watching the show talking about you and your mama, and you know, like, get over it.
Her mama's paying her bills one way or another. Exactly. Whether she's paying the rent or she's your storyline on the show.
Exactly. She's paying them bills. So, but it's interesting that she's so defensive about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of our viewers, Carrie Rump, said, I think Candace is so worried about Ashley and her marriage because she knows she's just like her mom and is insecure that she's going to destroy her own union.
She is. She's going to destroy that union if she doesn't get it together.
That's interesting.
I don't disagree with that, but I don't know if I necessarily agree with it either. I think if any with anything in this situation, I feel like the one thing that I feel she can stand on is her relationship with Chris. I don't think she thinks that Chris is going to go anywhere. She needs to be worried that he may go somewhere because she's doing the most, but I don't know if that's necessarily what her worry is.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, I do feel like Candace has some really deep-seated insecurities that are driving a lot of her actions. So, I don't know. That's an interesting perspective as far as, you know, being worried about losing Chris, which, I mean, honestly, she should be. So, if she don't, she needs to be.
If that's your worry, girl, what you doing ain't helping. Right. You need to stop it because you're not helping it at all.
Exactly, exactly. So, that is, you know, so I don't know. That's an interesting one. I'm going to have to marinate on that. Mm-hmm. So, let's, okay, so... let's move on to where were you when the sex allegations came out? Like, I thought that was kind of cute the way the editors did that or whatever.
That was cute.
And it's like, oh, well, Karen was in the confessional, still getting laid. Yeah. And everybody was like in their own little area. And, you know, so these are kind of the things that are going on before we get to the hoedown. How did you feel about everyone's little reactions to kind of what Ashley was going through?
Because I feel like I wanna say that everybody seemed calm, but I guess what reason do they have to really like get upset? The only one that really stood out to me was Candace because she was talking to Monique, kind of trying to make it seem like she was concerned, but she had like this smirk on her face this whole time. And it's like, girl, you know you are so happy that all of this is happening. Don't be calling, acting like, oh, what's going on with Ashley? Should we check on her? No, girl, you know you happy.
Yeah, Candace is happy. And when Candace said, I actually kind of do feel bad for her, girl, you do not have to lie to KK. Why are you lying right now? You are not sad for her. But like every time that she talks to someone, she's like, oh, you care? Well, she was talking about you last season. Girl, that was last season. Mm-hmm. It is a new day. It is a new time. Get over that. Like, but stop trying to act like you care because you don't.
Exactly. I like that Giselle called her. Yeah. I think that's what all of them should have done. It's a little disappointing that they all, you know, key-keyed about it to themselves, but nobody really took the time, at least not on camera.
Wait a minute. Because Karen called to break the news to Ashley. Ashley didn't know until Karen said, well, it's on TMZ. So it's interesting because I felt like...
Oh, I mixed up Karen and Giselle. That's what
No, Giselle called her too, I believe. But Giselle seemed to really be concerned. Mm-hmm. And Karen seemed to be like...
Well, it's out there.
It's out there, boo. Yeah. And I was going to say, so that whole little interaction between Karen and Ashley was kind of like interesting. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, because it was kind of like you would think she was calling, I'm seeing to see if you're okay. And then... you know, did she really care if she was okay? I don't think so.
Honestly, I think they didn't call because it's like not far from, you know, like it's a pattern. If this stuff keeps happening, are you going to call every single time? Like, oh, this happened. Like, girl, you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you have to know this about your husband. So what am I calling you for if this continues to happen? It's butt grabbing. It's penises and you know what I mean?
It's like always something.
Yeah. So
and that's what really I know I'm kinda jumping the gun, but when they did the preview for next week when Ashley asked Giselle, she was like, you're kinda saying it like you think he did it. But like why would it be so far fetched to think he did it? Because he's grabbed people on sets but before. He's talked about grabbing people on sets but before. Mm-hmm. So I mean if this seems to be a pattern of his, why is it so far fetched to think that he could have done it?
It's just weird to me that Ashley's like, Wait, what? Like, I know you see this stuff. Like, you see these episodes. You know what I mean? Like, you know that he's having these conversations. You have to know something. You know? Like, you're not fully just, like, out of it. You know something. Come on. Like,
Very true. So we get to the hoedown. And so a lot of things are going on because everybody's kind of trying to see how Ashley's going to work it. And she's kind of cool and very chilled. And then, but she still kind of has, like, this altercation with Karen and with Karen. Like, the people who are going to come for her. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because I think she was kind of cool about it and handled it. Like, what did people really expect her to do, you know? Because it's like, I'm not going to cry with these people who, like, don't really support me.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really interesting how things went down between her and Karen. That was crazy.
Yes.
What did you guys think about how
that was funny.
Karen was dealing with her?
Karen, I think she was trying to be like, Karen wasn't trying to be mean, but then when Ashley brought up Karen talking bad about her when she left, Karen wasn't talking bad about her when she left, but she heard that from Giselle and she took that and ran with it. But I mean, like, I think Karen was just trying to be like she wasn't trying to be mean, you know what I mean? But when she hit her with that clankety clank,
I know what you mean. I don't agree, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I think they all, to me, one thing, I don't care what Michael has done in the past and what rumors have been heard, but to actually be charged criminally with something is a big deal. And I think that whether he didn't do it or he did do it and he's facing 11 years, I think that you should kind of take that seriously. And if the person is your friend or your associate or just not your enemy, kind of like give the girl a break. And I think this episode, so many people were kind of like, or Monique and Robin and everybody's like, well, this is her karma. Like, it okay, is. Really? Because y'all have done things too. So.
I think it's her karma. Ashley is always the one, like she said, carrying the spoon, but she feels bad that this time she wasn't carrying the spoon and it was about her girl. It was only a matter of time until something came back about your man. You know what I mean? You can't talk about everybody's man, everybody's family, everybody's situation, and expect for nothing to ever happen to you. And it's finally happening to her, and I don't think she knows how to deal with it.
And I mean, if the roles were reversed, if this was anybody else's husband, she would have been right there like, oh, I heard this. Did this happen? How you feeling about that? So it's like, don't expect people to be all closed-mouthed and so respectful when things happen to you, because if the roles were reversed, you would be right on the other side, kikiing with them. So come on now. Right. I mean, I still feel a little bad for her, and I'm glad that, you know, she already knew about it before everybody called and it was revealed on camera. But to say it's her karma, I do agree with that, you know. So
And then let's see, so what did you guys think about Katie, Kooky Katie? I thought she was kind of cool and chilled and like so much fun and didn't care, like give it up for fake bees and like grabbing penises. I don't know, but great, great toast the whole show.
Yeah.
You know, Katie is such a crazy person to me, but it's funny that I feel like she hasn't really said much this whole season. Like, she kind of throws out a comment here or there. But I really want to know what's going on with her, because the Katie that we're seeing this season is way different than the Katie from season one. Like, what are you doing on a farm, okay? Yeah.
Right.
You ain't been to one gala. You've been walking around with these scars on. Like, what is happening with Katie that she's completely made this change? I really want to know. Like, what happened? What is going on? I need her to talk a little more other than her little comments, because I genuinely want to know, like, Katie, what have you been doing?
You need to be a better friend to the show. We need your business.
Right.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You're
true.
More confident than you were before. Mm-hmm. You're just like a different,
chill, laid
different,
back.
Like, this free spirit is really actually free.
Yeah.
And it's really, really refreshing to see. Now, one thing I will say before we wrap up this episode, I found interesting, Giselle apologized, and even in the end, even though Giselle really has been messy that last episode and this episode a lot, Ashley gave her a pass and still remained basically mad at Robin until Robin apologized, and she seems to have accepted it. But it was interesting that, like, almost like, well, that's just who Giselle is, so it's okay. How did you guys feel about her kind of giving the pass to Giselle and that, still being mad at Robin?
That made me mad. Like, you cannot keep giving her a pass. Like, if I have a friend that keeps, like, carrying the bone and just starting stuff, I'm not going to keep saying, oh, well, that's how she is. That's how she is. Sometimes, like, she is a grown woman. You have to hold her accountable for the things that she does. She brought that up, and then Robin probably felt like, oh, well, like, it's all these people around. She done brought this up. Like, I have to say something about it. But, like, Giselle needs to take accountability, and you need to make her accountable too. Like, she's grown. She's a grown woman with children. Like,
I don't know if I agree, and I promise this is just not because of my allegiance to Giselle. I promise you.
Right.
It's not.
I mean, I could see her wanting to have a conversation with Giselle to just address it and move on from it, but I don't think it was something that she should have gotten mad at her for, and I don't think it's a situation where she should have been more mad at Giselle than she was at Robin or Candace, because one, Candace and Robin had already been kikiing about it offline, and for two, you know, like she said, she could have been like, you know, now is probably not the right time to talk about this, even though Giselle did bring it up. I don't think it was as big from Giselle's front for her to, like, for Ashley to have made a big deal about it. I think Giselle apologized for it. It was minor. Just move on from it, honestly. That's how I felt.
Okay. Yeah, I'm 50-50 on it. I agree with you. I don't feel like she should be more mad at Giselle than at Robin. But I found it interesting that, like, okay, after all of this, it's like, well, maybe some of your anger at Robin is misplaced because mm-hmm. Robin didn't bring it up. Mm-hmm. She might have pulled you to the side, but we don't know because Giselle actually brought it up. So right. I agree. It's not like that big of a thing, but it's like, okay, you were so mad at Robin because you felt like she was so underhanded when actually she wasn't the one who brought it
yeah.
up anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, balance yourself out, girl. Mm-hmm. But all right, you guys. So that's this episode.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our special segment of Shadiest Moments. Mm-hmm. We'll go through that really quickly. So starting with you, Alexis.
My shadiest moment, I died laughing, is when Monique was like, why are you using Robin as the brain? She's not the brain. She's Pinky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically,
love that. Yes,
yeah,
that was
basically
so funny.
Implying that, like, Robin's the dumb yeah, one. At yeah. the,
Pinky
the
and the brain, for those of you who don't know this show. Okay, go ahead.
My shadiest moment was when Karen said clank de clank.
Yeah.
It took me out. I wanted to fall out. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't know what else to say when Ashley said stuff about the IRS. So all she could say was, you know what? Clank de clank. I hope your man don't drop the soap. Yeah. Period.
Okay, I had written down both of those. So I think my shadiest moment actually was very subtle when Giselle said in her confessional that she was going to get a house that the IRS couldn't take.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that literally
yes.
went over
yes.
my head.
I got that one too.
I was like, shut up. To Karen.
Shady.
Bang, bang, baby.
Giselle just does it every time.
All right. Well, I don't know, ladies. I don't know. Those are so good. But I don't know. I kind of feel like the clankety clank and the soap.
Clankety clank.
Yeah,
is
I think
it.
That's the winner.
For sure.
Yeah, that's the winner.
I think that's the winner. All right, you guys. Really quickly, we'll move on to some tweets. If I can read them.
Right.
All right. This is from Freud Banks. Love it. Katie, you are better than those Kim Zolciak wigs. Oh, my gosh.
She was giving me Rick James vibes with this wig.
Yes,
it was amazing.
See, wigs look. Were Halloween this whole episode.
Party
Halloween,
city.
Yes.
Very party city.
Am I the only one who thought that Kim has always had nice wigs?
No, she has not. They're terrible. They were terrible.
Kim has had good wig moments. Over time, her wigs have
gotten better.
Have gotten better. Like, when she first was on Real Housewives.
Season one, Kim. Yeah.
Thank you. When Sheree was pulling her wig in those first few seasons, that wig.
She had the shiny party city wig.
Katie's was definitely worse than any of Kim's, though.
I don't know.
All right. This is from, Stacy. 32-year-old fully dependent Candace is a, I can't even tell her,
is a
carbon copy of Dorothy. Minus the home, status, paycheck, and ill-fitted career.
Wow, Stacy, that was a lot. That's how you
not
feel
playing,
there.
That was a read.
I mean, she ain't
I think
lying.
She, thank you. She said
you
for
feel.
You, Candace, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I am Miss Samuels. It's definitely tonight's MVP. She has the patience of a saint, but ain't afraid to
drag that grown baby Candace even while she's pregnant.
Yeah, I was all for Monique.
Me too.
All on her side this episode.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Was 100%. Candace is being way too dramatic. Classic misplaced anger. A real friend will let you know when you're wrong, and others will let you make a fool of yourself.
Bingo.
Yes,
yep.
Exactly. Very, very true. Good job. And the last one. This season, Katie is a gift that keeps on giving. Yes, Lord, she is.
Yeah.
Where was this one in season one?
Yeah.
DC, DJ Jack, exactly.
Maybe mm-hmm. she had just had to get rid of that fiance.
I don't know, but she's bringing the pain, and we love you, girl. We love you. All right, you guys. Well, Alexis has some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So some super duper quick but exciting news. Our girl Giselle was honored at the Africa Gives Back International Gala yesterday. You can see her in her beautiful dress. It's a lot of dress. And of course it's pink and green. Shout out to the AKAs. And that gala raises money to build clean water wells in West Africa. And they decided to honor her and all the proceeds would go to that. So congratulations to Giselle.
That's
and
cool.
Great that they have a cause for that.
Cool.
Wow, that dress is, like, so busy.
Yeah.
Okay, so much. But Shout out to Giselle. I love her. All right, before we get out of here, you guys, we're going to do some predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, starting with Alexis.
You know, I think we're just going to see a lot more arguments with Candace because Candace is on a warpath and has some anger issues right now. And she just coming for everybody. And I think we're just going to see some more aftermath of everything that's going on with Mr. Darby.
I think that Candace and Monique are going to make up. I mean, we see that, you know, they're at the little dinner having a little Ponderosa. So I think they're going to make up because Monique doesn't really want to have problems with anyone. So she'll probably be the one that initiates the makeup.
Yeah, Candace will probably really figure out that she was overreacting and that she actually had good intentions.
Right.
I agree. And I actually think that Candace and her mom are going to make up because I think they seemed kind of peaceful a little bit in that preview for the, you know, for their little psycho sessions. And I think, like, at the end of the day, they're like twins. So
they're gonna
make up and continue to fight. Mm. All of that. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a great, great, fun, fabulous show. But before you get out of here, ladies, where can they find you?
Hey, guys, you all can find me on Instagram and Twitter at I Am Lexi Fierce.
You guys can find me on Instagram at TheDannyB.
All right, you guys, I'm your host, Erica Edwards, and you can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards. Ciao for now, folks.
Bye, guys.
Bye. See you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.